Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis, coming to you from Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us. Plots thicker than a Hollywood thriller that could be how some could describe the current situation in Syria, from reports of British troops on the ground to a possible invasion by Turkish troops to much international wrangling and dangling and even Al-Qaeda being involved. Is it the loss of Syrian lives that has gotten everyone's attention or something else that's going on? Stay with us as we take a closer look at the latest from Syria.
Violence continues in Syria. More people have been killed in the past couple of days. The deaths include an army general gunned down in the capital, Damascus. The funeral of killed security forces in the Syrian capital. The unrest drags on as the foreign ministers of the Arab League member states have met in Cairo to discuss the unrest. They have agreed to open talks with the Syrian opposition and cut all diplomatic ties with the government. They've also called on the UN Security Council to form a joint UN Arab League peacekeeping mission in Syria. China and Russia, two veto-holding powers of the UN Security Council, earlier opposed an Arab League roadmap which called for the Syrian president to hand over power to his deputy and pave the way for transition. Moscow and Beijing vetoed a draft resolution based on the plan, saying it amounted to regime change in Syria. Russia in particular says any solution to the Syrian issue must come from inside the country. The months-long unrest has killed large numbers of people in Syria. Damascus says it has evidence of a foreign-backed plot to topple the government. Syria has repeatedly charged that arms shipments have been flowing into the country from neighboring Lebanon, Turkey, and northern Iraq for, quote, terrorist armed gangs operating in Syria. Reports say Al-Qaeda militants have also joined these armed groups. The leader of the terrorist organization has called for the ouster of the Syrian government.
If we want freedom, we must be liberated from this regime. If we want justice, we must retaliate against this regime.
Many believe that the Western countries, including the U.S., have entered a strategic alliance with Al-Qaeda over Syria.
We have to redouble our efforts outside of the United Nations. We have to increase diplomatic pressure on the Assad regime.
The unrest in the Middle Eastern nation continues as the Syrian president has begun implementing reforms to calm down the situation. President Assad has warned, however, that he will deal with terrorists with an iron fist.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from London, Middle East expert Mr. Zayd Al-Issa. From Damascus, political analyst Taleh Ebrahim. From New York, anti-war activist Don DeBar. Thank you all for being with us. We appreciate you being with us. Let's start this off in London with Mr. Zayd Al-Issa. Now, we have had people dying in revolutions from Egypt to Yemen to Bahrain and other places. Why are we witnessing the reaction that we are from the Western countries and their Arab Persian Gulf allies when it comes to Syria?
Well, what is undeniable is the highly important location, the highly strategic location of Syria. It is an important country, and basically the United States and its allies see it as a country that has to be won over, as they see it, an obstacle to carrying out their strategic objectives in the region. But I have to mention here that we are seeing a ramping of the rhetoric and ratcheting up of the pressure after the takeover of the Arab League complete takeover by Saudi Arabia. The Saudis were happy to see the Qataris lead, and they were actually leading from the back. Now we see them push aside the Qataris, and they have assumed total leadership of the Arab League. They are the ones calling the shots, and that's why we see them pressing ahead and pushing very hard for more drastic and draconian measures. They are pushing for a United Nations Arab Peace Force, which is simply simply military intervention through the back door. They are pushing also for compulsory freezing of all relations, the pulling of diplomats from Syria, as well as for tightening the screw on the Syrian government, and also tightening the noose of economic sanctions. Now, this basically is highly controversial, because they are calling for all these measures to come through the United Nations. We've seen that Russia is vehemently opposed and steadfastly determined to block any of those measures, particularly by using the veto. And I do believe that the new version is even a harsher than the milder version that has been fiercely rejected by a veto from Russia and also from China. The new development, which is very, very dangerous, is also the participation of Al-Qaeda, which has been increasingly silenced and increasingly marginalized. For the Al-Qaeda leader to throw his weight and push for regime change by calling explicitly on his supporters to join the fight should start alarm bells ringing in the Middle East, because that's not the first time that the Al-Qaeda actually joins forces with Saudi Arabia and acts as if it's the military wing.
Okay, let me turn to Syria. Let me turn to Damascus and get Talha Ibrahim in on this. What's your take on that? Now, our guest in London has talked about, let's look at this Al-Qaeda factor. The latest that we have today is saying basically Al-Qaeda has called for the ouster of President Bashar al-Assad. What exactly does that mean? How significant is that of an organization that has been labeled a terrorist organization and that we continually witness basically causing blood to be spilled in many Muslim countries, but that this particular organization now seems to be allied with Washington and is calling for the Syrian president to step down?
This is a very dramatic change in the game in Syria and in all of the world. If we look back years ago, United States launched a global war against Al-Qaeda, against terrorism. Now, United States have a real alliance with Al-Qaeda and with Saudi Arabia and with some extremists in the Middle East to fight secular regimes. Indeed, this is a very, very dramatic change, and it is a very dangerous. But anyway, here in Syria, from the first time, we believe deeply that what is happening in Syria not related to freedom, and not related to reform, and not related to democracy. It is related to a very big game, what we call it, the struggle over Syria and over all of the Middle East. And as I have read a few days ago, Dr. Henry Kissinger, who wrote in one of the magazines, he said that we are witnessing now a third world cold war happening in Syria between United States and its allies and between Russia and China.
Mr. Ibrahim, let me jump in here. What do you think then this is all about? You've just talked about now Henry Kissinger getting involved, and we see like there are entities, it seems, from all over the world getting involved in this serious situation. What is this really all about?
Yes. Now it is, as I said for a few seconds ago, it is a struggle over Syria, struggle over Middle East, and the struggle over Asia. Now United States is very, very much concerned about China, about Russia, and about the awakening of these two empires.
Okay.
So United States now is trying to make a preemptive war to put hands on Syria and later on Iran, on all of this area, which is very, very important in the political geography of the world.
Okay, let me turn to New York and get Mr. Don DeBar in on this. Now, Mr. DeBar, we've had many different countries seem to be involved in the Syria situation. Now, the Saudi foreign minister has said, quote, let me read, that how long will we stay on as onlookers to what is happening in brotherly Syria, to our brotherly Syrian people, and how much longer will we grant the Syrian regime one period after another so it can commit more massacres against its people? Let's look at Saudi Arabia saying this and looking at exactly, one, what's going on inside of Saudi Arabia itself. And, of course, we know that the Saudi regime is also involved in Bahrain. What is this all about? How does the Saudis really basically start talking about the loss of innocent lives and bloodshed being spilled when inside of its own country right now there has been another death? There have been two deaths in the last couple of days of anti-government protesters there. So what is this about as far as Riyadh's statements and their involvement in this situation?
Well, those are obvious contradictions, but there's one that goes even more to the heart of the matter. Go back to September 11th, 2001 in the United States. The 18 people who are accused and convicted in the press of conducting the operations against the United States on that date were all Saudis. The result of that has been the United States declaring war on Afghanistan, like the next month. 8-10 months later, congressional approval of the war in Iraq. Now, this past year, the war on Libya. The several wars that have taken place in West Africa, for example, Cote d'Ivoire, and East Africa, Somalia, Uganda, and other places. I agree with both of the other guests, which is that the real truth lies in the geopolitical nature of this, the big picture, so to speak. And the big picture shows that for the last 11 years, the United States has been attempting to neutralize any alliances that Russia or China might have in that area, looking at Russia and China as ascendant potential competitors in global markets. The United States has been installing missile defense in West Europe, naval forces in the Pacific to encircle both Russia and China. The war on Afghanistan comes up to the southern border of the old Soviet Union. The war in Libya opened a path to Damascus, as many people said, that the path to Damascus would be through Tripoli, and now the path to Tehran, which is, you know, next to the old Soviet Union also, and a regional competitor, is through Damascus. Damascus is one of the allies in the region of Iran. And so the entire operation is clearly one that was designed to put the United States in a position to both strip away any potential allies that Russia and or China would have, to remove their potential independence of movement within the world economy. For example, by removing Saddam Hussein, they removed the threat of European currency being used in petrodollars. By removing Gaddafi, they removed the potential of an African currency being used for purchasing oil, and moves now against people using ruble or just out-and-out bartering for oil among Russia, China, and some European countries will be completely negated if the United States is successful in Syria and ultimately Iran. So this is a big-picture game, and, you know, if you really look at it closely, it does lead to World War III. And when you have Kissinger saying that, it's an open admission by the ruling elite here that that's where they're headed.
All right, well, back to London, Mr. Zayd Al-Issa. Let's look at the significance now of the role of Russia and China in all of this. As Mr. DeBar has just talked about, it seems to be this battle between these certain powers. Now, we saw both Russia and China veto the UN resolution. Of course, that was led by the U.S. and their Persian Gulf Arab allies. Let's talk about their role from this point on. How do you see them? Do you think that they will actually get directly involved in the situation in Syria, as we're hearing more and more reports of, for example, British troops being on the ground, Al-Qaeda, and so many other entities? Tell me about the likely role of the Russians, especially in the Chinese.
Well, I do believe that the Russians and the Chinese are adamant this time not to allow a United Nations resolution to pass through the Security Council, because they have learned from the previous lesson, particularly the lesson of Libya. When they abstained, they do both see it, that it was abused, and they see that the NATO have overstepped the powers and authority of that resolution, and they have turned themselves into the military arm of the rebels in Libya. And that's why I have to go back to the important point, the development that Al-Qaeda has voiced through its leader, its full wholehearted support for the overthrow of the Assad regime. We are witnessing here a pattern. This is not the first time that the Al-Qaeda jumps to support as a military wing the objectives and the overarching goals of Saudi Arabia. The political goal of Saudi Arabia was to overthrow, to derail and destabilize the government of Iraq. And Al-Qaeda has played a leading role, if not the pivotal role, in actually destabilizing Iraq. Okay. We see now clearly the Saudis are saying that they are widening and broadening the objective to regime change in Syria.
And all right, let me turn back to Damascus and get Mr. Ibrahim back in on this. Now, let's look at the Arab League's role in all of this. We know that Mustafa al-Dabi, who was the chief of the Arab League, he has resigned now from that commission that had been appointed to investigate the situation that was happening in Syria. And now the Arab League itself is saying that they want to send a combination of Arab League representatives and the UN into Syria. Your take on that? Why are they suggesting that? And what do you think the effect that that would have on your country if it happens?
I think Arab League and especially Persian Gulf states, they are trying to put Russia and China in the corner. They believe that they are able now to apply some pressure in Russia and China to make a change in their position, who is supporting Syria and Syrian leadership. Anyway, I think that Arabs now prove that they are unable to do anything towards Syria, and they sent the Syrian file to the United Nations to find the resolution, because they are unable to do anything after they have bushed a very, very large amounts of money, of armored forces, etc., etc., to inside Syria. In spite of all of that, they couldn't make any real change on the land. Now they are trying to go again to the international community, but I am sure that a new veto of Russia and China is waiting the Arabs, because it's impossible for Russia and the Chinese to accept that what they said, the Arab forces for deterrence or et cetera, et cetera, to work in Syria, because that will mean directly a regional war, and this regional war, nobody can make it only a regional war. It might be suddenly widespread to a real world war, which all of the people want to avoid it. Now Arabs are playing a very, very positive role in Syrian crisis. They are escalating instead of trying killing this crisis. And they are indeed, there's no real Arabian policy towards Syria. There's Israeli and American and NATO policy towards Syria. And this policy now, unfortunately, have been implemented by the Arab League, especially Persian Gulf states.
Okay, let me turn to New York, because we're just about out of time. Get Mr. Don DeBar in on this. In the meantime, we're sitting, we're debating. There's many entities that seem to be involved in this situation, but Syrian people are continuing to die. What is the key, in your perspective, to end the violence inside of Syria?
Well, the Russian proposal, which was joined by the Chinese, would be a good starting point. That is to call on all sides to stop shooting. And the side that started the shooting is the side that is armed with American, Qatari, and other outside weapons that came in through Turkey, trained by Turkish and American troops in Turkey and Jordan. And until that stops, the Assad regime, the government of Syria, has the responsibility to protect people from armed gangs, and that they will have to continue to do that. And the bulk of the killing is being done, according to every person I've spoken with on the ground, from Lizzie Phelan to Mustafa Afzalzadeh, people that have been in Syria. The bulk of the killing is being done by these insurgents that are working for the United States on pay with American arms.
Okay, and on that note, I'd like to thank all of our guests for being with us from London, Middle East expert, Mr. Zayd Al-Issa, from Damascus, political analyst, Mr. Taleh Ebrahim, and from New York, anti-war activist, Mr. Don DeBar. Thank you all for being with us, and thank you, viewers, for being with us on another News Analysis. Join us here, same time, same place tomorrow as we take a look at one of tomorrow's top headline stories. Well, I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much for joining us, and goodbye.